know how lacking I am. I really do. And anything that I do, I want to make sure I give God the glory for it. We can do nothing of self, nothing that is going to come to any substance if God is not in it. And I am so grateful for really just God's mercy and blessing. And every now and then God reaches out and gives you a hug. You know, I like that letter. It's like a little hug. That the little things that we do that we don't think are going to have an impact, you know, because if I was with her, I'd have probably said, "Why are you giving her a card for? She's in Monticello, Indiana. She's not going to be coming." But you never know. One of these days, she may come to Milwaukee. And I think if she came to Milwaukee, she would want to come and visit the church. And I think that is why we should let our lights shine no matter where we are. Amen? Amen. Giving God glory, we are on our fourth week on the lesson on being led by the Spirit. Let me get the right one. Amen. And this is such a huge topic and so wonderful. And so we're going to be continuing. We have one more week next week. And the whole point of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to be led by the Spirit. Amen. And so that's why it's so important. Psalms 23, verse 3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness." And last week, Sister Brownie brought out a good point. Paths of righteousness sometimes are not paths of ease. They're not paths of pleasure. Sometimes the path of righteousness is through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes you get a little break sometimes and it's by the still waters. I treasure those times when it's by the still waters. But I know that since I'm on a journey, I can't stay all the time by the still waters. If you're always in the still waters, it means you're not moving. Because on a journey, the landscape's going to change. Anyone ever traveled the length of Illinois on 55 or 57? Man, that will put you to sleep. Because it's just flat and it just goes on and it's like there's no change. You know? But if you go into like traveling to West Virginia or Pennsylvania, the landscape is undulating. It changes. It keeps you awake. Well, if we're on a Christian journey, we're not always just going to be by the still waters. There's going to be times where we go through the valleys. But as they say, it's in the valleys where things grow. Right? On the mountaintops where it's windswept, there's not too much growth. But when you go through the valley and you've gone through the valley, you can look back and say, "He's taken me through some trials, some tribulations." And so in everything, Paul said, "I have learned to be content." We can thank him for the struggles as well as for the blessings. You know, some of us, we only want to thank him for the blessings. But when I look back on the struggles, it's what's made me who I am. It's made you who you are, made you individual. It's the things you have been through that makes you unique and special to God. Isn't that awesome? Amen. If we were to take out some of the struggles, you wouldn't be the same person. You wouldn't be the same person. So we have to look at life that it's ordered by the Lord if we have been submitted to him. If we are being led by him, then all things, let's say it together, all things, amen. We know that all things, right? If you can say that, believe it, then that you have achieved a great amount. Amen. So let's go on today, and we're going to be doing killing the flesh. Ooh. Killing the flesh. Sister Johnny had a huge chocolate cake. That's what came to mind when I thought about killing the flesh. I was staring at that thing. Sister Brownie. Amen. It was a two-course meal because, you know, my wife does not like meat. So she specially took the trouble to grill her fish. So it was like a restaurant. In fact, I'm waiting for when Sister Johnny opens up the, what was it called, Johnny's Steakhouse? Amen.
I like to thank God for helping me kill my flesh at work the other day. One of my coworkers, she's a head cashier, and she walked up behind. Well, she told me to punch in. Well, can I punch in right away? She asked me, can I punch in right away? I said, no, I need to talk to HR. And she said, that ain't what I asked you. So I was like, okay. So then she came back there to get me at the time when I punched in and said, now get to the floor. And when she walked up behind me, she shoved me. And so instead of me getting mad, I just started shouting. You know, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to let her bother me. She got the spirit on her, and it's going to be whatever. God going to protect me, and he going to stop her from doing what she's doing. So y'all pray for me.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's an awesome testimony. Maybe your former self would have turned around and done something, but instead you shouted. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. That is awesome. Devil probably didn't like that at all. Didn't like that at all. But killing the flesh is a hard thing. Killing the flesh is a hard thing. And as I said, when that thought came to me, what I saw was that big chocolate cake. There was a big chocolate cake about 5 inches high and about this around. And she said, help yourself. Oh boy, amen. Killing the flesh. Every week on a Friday, mostly, I go down to the gym at work. And after I've worked out, I weigh myself. And I kind of take stock and I say, okay, some weeks it's good. I've been trying to break through the 200 barrier. And about several months ago, I came this close. In fact, I actually had broken through the 200 barrier. But then comes the weekend. That's my failing, the weekend, you know? So this Friday, I knew I was going to go to Sister Johanny, and I said, really, I got to do some exercise here. I got to get some credits going here because I know that I am not going to restrain myself. Amen. But killing the flesh is simply that. The Bible says we have to mortify the members because this flesh wants to do contrary to the Spirit. Contrary to the Spirit. And if we let those desires, those thoughts, the Bible says it will be enmity with the Spirit. We cannot please God and please ourselves most of the time. It's not going to work. Romans 7:21. Paul is explaining this, and you all know this scripture very well. He said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You know, when someone does something to us, human nature is to get them back and get them back double. Teach them for messing with you, right? I remember an incident when I was much, much younger and someone had bullied my brother. He was much younger at that time and I had bought him an ice cream and they had taken it. And so I caught up with the fellow who had taken his ice cream and, you know, I didn't kill the flesh. You know, he wanted it so bad, so I took it and I just mushed it in his face real good. It made the flesh feel good, but it wasn't the right thing to do, you know. Now, I was still a teenager myself. I wasn't that old, but I knew better that wasn't right, you know. And so sometimes the urge within us is to get back at people. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And, you know, if we're just patient, like Sister Audrey would say, if you're just patient, let the Lord take care of it. I've told you, in my life, I've seen him every... The Bible says that there's no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And everyone I've seen who's tried to do me in, if I just let the Lord do it, in fact, it gets so bad that I become sorry for them. When it finally comes out, I feel so sorry for them, how things turn out. You do not have to fight for yourself, but just give praise, just like you did. Amen, amen. You see, when we get up in the morning, our intent is to serve God. Our intent is to do the right thing. Paul says in verse 22, for I delight. And that word delight, and I'll be speaking more about that, is another word for joy. Do you have joy in doing God's will? Because if you don't, it's going to be hard. He says, I delight in the law of God. After the inward man. That's talking about our intents and our desires. I get up every day and, Lord, I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a witness. I want to stand up for the name of Jesus. But, verse 23, I see another law in my members, in our flesh, warring against the law of my mind, trying to tell me, no, get them back. You feel that temper coming up and, you know, you just want to strike out. bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. See, this flesh, as I've said before, if we give into it, it is enmity, Paul says, with God. So Paul in verse 24 says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He goes on to say, I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. That's why this body has to die. I've said that so many times. So if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we're always going to have to be mortifying our flesh. Checking ourselves, in other words, right? We're going to have to check ourselves. I saw that chocolate cake and I had to check myself because it's a lot of calories.
Praise God. I've been dealing with, like, you know, my flesh as well. You know, nobody's perfect. My husband was out there fixing on my daughter's car, and usually before we depart each other, you know, because you never know what's going to happen, we usually kiss and just depart. So I came to the front, he in front of his friends, you didn't have to come up here and kiss on me, you know, and I wanted to say something very mean and nasty. I just kept going what I'm going, and he just been like that all the whole weekend, like in front of his friends, just, you know, just trying to show his tail. So I basically, you know, he forgot it was Sweetie's Day, so I got him something for Sweetie's Day and put a little card right there on the bed, so he wasn't expecting that. I was like, look at him, he being mean and nasty, he finna go right in there and get something that he need. And I just basically, I thank God for the Holy Spirit, and I thank him for keeping me. And I know that the Lord is working on my sister. I am so proud of her for, you know, basically not interacting in that situation. And it shows God's strengthening.
Amen. Well, you know, the Bible says a soft answer. Because sometimes we just throw fuel on the fire. Right? You know, someone wants a fight and you give it to them. You answer back in kind. Sometimes it's best to just bite our tongue, you know, just keep silent. Isn't that what Jesus did when Pilate and brought before the high priest? He could have said a lot of stuff. He could have called them, you whited sepulchers, you useless so-and-so. He could have told them all the stuff that he knew about them. But the Bible said he went as a lamb to the slaughter, and he didn't answer a word. Sometimes that's the best wisdom, is to just be silent, Sister Brownie.
What we need to realize is that when we do react and allow the flesh, we open the door for Satan to use us. And mm-hmm. if you realize that, you know, when you do react, when you do get in your flesh, that's what Satan wants in the first place. That's why he irritated you. That's why he attacked you. So you have to, you shut that door to Satan when you walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen. Amen. See, this flesh will get the better of us. I mean, as I told you before, I thought I had dealt with temper, but the Lord showed me that I haven't totally dealt with temper. That means I have to die every day. I have to get up every morning and say, Lord, you take my wills. I submit my desires. We have to actually say that every day. We have to submit ourselves. Paul said, I die daily. Daily. It's a daily thing. You go a week without praying and submitting, you know, you're not going to be as strong as you were the week before. It'd be like if you went a week without eating, you're not going to be as strong as you were the week before. So we have to be killing the flesh to walk in the Spirit, to be led in the Spirit. Romans 8:4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does it mean to not walk after the flesh? To not let it control you? How do you do that in a practical sense? Because some desires are real strong, right? Pray. Meditate. Avoid certain situations that you know ahead of time is going to be temptation for you, right? If I'm an alcoholic, I got to avoid going into the bar. I might be thirsty for some water, and there's water in there, but there's other things too. Right? So we have to really listen to the Spirit. And the Lord will warn us. But sometimes we shut it out. We don't want to hear because we want our flesh to have dominion. And we got to submit that. For they are that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That means it's what you're thinking about. What do we think about most of the time when we get up? Is it earthly things, or do you get up and give your mind to the Lord and say, Lord, this is a wonderful day. Could be snowing outside, 6 inches of snow. Lord, this is a wonderful day. You know why? Because your mercy endures forever. Because you love me. Because you woke me up this morning. Imagine if we woke up and started praising God when there was, on the face of it, no good reason. Maybe you just lost your job. Lord, I thank you. You've given me a new direction. Amen. I love you. I'm just going to worship you this day because I don't have to go to work. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm not going to clean the house. I'm going to devote this day to you. Imagine if we changed our thinking. Amen. And a relationship with God. You know, as we've said so much, when you're in love with someone, you want to talk to them all the time. Even when it's about nothing. Nothing. You know, I can't remember all the hours I spent on the phone talking about nothing. How are you doing? What's your day been like? Do we do that with God? Do we tell him about our day? Do we say, Lord, well, you know, this person was on my case. Lord, I'm just going to submit that to you because I know you can take care of it. Lord, you know I have this bill coming up, but I know you can take care of it. Lord, you know I'm feeling a bit lonely and I'd like some companionship, but Lord, I know you have a plan for my life. Lord, I know if I will just be still and stand still, I will see your salvation. You know what's best for me. I just have to wait upon the Lord patiently. The truth is we don't trust God, so we go and try and fix it for ourselves. And when we do that, inevitably, it's a mess. For to be carnally minded, that means, you know, anyone speak Spanish? Carne, meat, flesh. To be carnally minded is death. That's where it leads to. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. When you are spiritually minded, even if you're facing, like, you know, we were facing some months ago, very serious operation for our daughter, the lady said she had such a peace and contentment. The lady had come in because her husband needed a hernia. And she was talking, and my wife was just listening in peace. And then she asked her about what she was in for, and she explained, and she was just so surprised that she could be so peaceful about it. God can give you peace in your storm if we trust him. If we trust him. And that's where it comes down to, because when we hear the word of God, we have to really just stretch out in faith, even when we can't see it, feel it. That is faith, the evidence of things not seen. And when we do that, God will not deny himself. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity, that means basically hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, always thinking about fleshly things, cannot please God. Cannot please God. When you're in love with someone, you want to please them. What can I do? That's on your mind the whole time. What can I do? Maybe I can buy them something. Maybe I can do this for them. Imagine if we did that with God. When you wake up, is that the first thought on you? Lord, what can I do for you today? You know, when you go into a bank and they say, how may we help you? What can I do for you today? Imagine if that was our question. Instead of asking God for things, we say to God, what can I do for you, God? Imagine if we had that attitude. The Bible says that if we delight ourselves, it's when we delight, when we have joy in serving God, then he will do for us, Sister Johnny.
Man, I was just thinking on, is that on?
Yeah, it's on. It's on.
I was thinking on yesterday as I was telling you that, you know, I do a lot of things to help a lot of people, and I don't expect nothing back, because, you know, when you expect something back, then that leads to problem. But if you're doing it for the right reason, Amen. With the right heart, just to help people when they need help, you know, and I have so many people that are asking me, you know, like, why you continue to do this? And if it was me, no, I wouldn't do it, but it's not me. It's Christ who lives in me, Amen. Who is helping me to do things to help people and not look for nothing in return. So we have to have a heart after God to please him. Because, you know, as long as we trying to please ourselves, then, yeah, we wouldn't do anything to help people. We wouldn't go out of our way to do anything to help them. But when we have the heart to please God, because my desire, you know, no matter what, when the end of the day comes, my desire is to see God. And amen. I know that I can't take nothing from this earth with me. So why hold on to something when my brother or my sister might need it, or I can do something to help them?
Amen. Well, you see, what you have said is the key to blessing, is when God sees that what he gives you, you're going to use it to bless others, he gives you more. That's how it works. Amen. But some people don't, they think it's mine. You see the little two-year-olds and they're fighting over mine. That's the flesh. The flesh cannot please God. When we understand that actually nothing I have belongs to me. I could lose it all tomorrow. Really, I could. It all belongs to God. I only live by his command. I serve at his behest. You know, when the president appoints cabinet members, he can fire them anytime. They serve at his will. I want to be that place where I'm totally dependent on God's will. I want to be so submitted that I don't claim anything as mine. It's all his. Amen. I'm not giving God anything. It's his anyway. Amen. All I'm doing is using it for his glory. Hallelujah. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But he's speaking to the Romans, says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. That's the key. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, then he says, you are Christ. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That's why we got to get a new body. As beautiful as you are, you're going to have to get a new body. As wonderful as you are, God is going to have to give you a new body. Amen. And of that, some of us are grateful. Amen. Of that, some of us are grateful. Romans 8:12, Paul goes on to say, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Don't owe your flesh anything. Don't try and please it, satisfy it. You don't owe it anything. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, and that word means to kill. That's where we get the word mortician, death. Do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So we have to kill all the things that are against God and displeasing to God. We have to avoid things that get us into places where we are going to be tempted. We have to pray. We have to seek God, because that's how we die daily. Because, you know, to get up early and pray, or to stay up late and pray, that's not what the flesh wants. The flesh wants to stay in that nice, warm bed. Sunday morning bed is the nicest, isn't it? Sunday morning bed is the nicest. For some reason, it just feels so good, you know, that Sunday morning bed. Like, you know, wow, it would be Sunday morning when you feel so good. Amen. Amen. But that's the test. We have to mortify the flesh. The flesh will keep you in bed. The flesh will make you do things that you don't want to do. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And it's a continual process. Because I had victory yesterday, don't think now that I can go and tempt myself or lead myself into a situation, because I will fail. And in fact, it's after a victory that Satan is most dangerous. Because, you know, you're all confident now. Well, I got through that. I'm full of the Spirit. You look in Luke and it says, and Jesus, being full of the Spirit, was then led into the wilderness to be tempted. It's when you just had a wonderful church service like we're going to have today. And you hear a wonderful message like I'm going to preach today. And you're on cloud nine and you think, yes, I'm going to go out and conquer. As soon as you leave this church, somebody's going to say something to you. Some incident's going to come to test your sonship. Ooh, if you be a son of God. If I wasn't a son of God, you'd see something. Amen? But verse 14, for as many as are led. When you're being led, as I've said before, you're not in front, you're behind. Amen. You're behind. You got to be behind God. You can't be in front and telling him what to do and asking him to back you up. You have to say, Lord, where do you want to go today? Where can I be a help today? What is your will today? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. And you see, I've shown this slide before, but we are a three-part person. And Satan wants control of your mind. That's what he really wants. He's kind of got the flesh already. You know, it does what it wants to do. And the mind is where our conscious thoughts are. Now, he has two avenues, either through our reason or through our emotions. And he would rather get you through emotions because that's a powerful thing. You know, anger, powerful thing. Because you lose all reason. You don't start thinking about the consequences. You just lash out. We'll fix this later. Yeah. That's how we think. When we say things that afterwards we really wish we had reasoned it out and taken our time and not said those things. Some people don't have a thought buffer. Whatever comes into their mind just comes out their mouth. And most of the time, that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. See, the devil and the battle is for your soul. And he has two avenues, through your heart, through your emotions, or through your mind, in your thinking. But if we're sealed with the Spirit, I got that egg covered up by the Spirit covering, then we give him a harder time. He still has an opportunity, but if we can be thinking, filling our mind up with the Word of God, with the goodness of God, with the grace of God, with the desires of what God wants, then he won't have too much opportunity. That'll leave him the emotions. Now, there's not too much you can do with the emotions because they're there. The Bible says you can get angry, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And it says for a cause. Some people just get angry and you don't even know what they're angry for. You know, they're just in a grumpy mood all the time. You know, good morning. What's good about it? Well, the Lord did wake you up. The Lord did wake you up, so maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But haven't you met people like that? You say good morning, like, what's good about it? They just got sour attitude. See, us Christians, and I'm saying us, we should have the joy of the Lord. Amen. You may have had a bad trial yesterday, but you know, today, new every morning, new mercies, new mercies, new mercies, amen. New mercies I see. Amen. It's a brand new day.
That's right.
Maybe the devil got me yesterday, but you know what? He hasn't won the war. He may have won a battle. I'm going to fight him today. I'm going to get 5 stones this amen. Time. David picked up 5 stones. He had some spares.
Amen.
Sister Shanita.
I was walking in the store. I mean, I was pretty happy, but the guy, I guess he took it. You know, I ain't had no facial expression. He was like, smile. Ain't you been woken up by God today? I was like, yes, sir.
Amen. Well, there you go. You know, sometimes my dad used to say, people used to read him the wrong way because he had such a serious looking face. People were scared of him, you know, to look at him. They were, you know, had this face. Of course, because he's my dad, I wasn't, you know, I knew his face, but he people didn't understand. He had a sense of humor. But you see, God can give you, and we should have, a sense. God has a sense of humor. Just look at all of us. Look at some of the creation that he has made. He's got a sense of humor. Amen. Amen. See, if it was me, I would have done it differently. But God has a sense of humor. We should have a joy. Yes, the devil beat me up yesterday. But listen, I'm down but not out. I shall arise. Amen. I shall arise. The righteous man, what does it say? Falls down 7, but he gets up. Amen. So the devil will try to get, if he can't get through your mind because you're reading your Bible, you're praying, he'll try through your emotions. He'll find your sore spot. He'll find the one person who knows how to take away your joy if you let them. You have to refuse and say, you can't have, what's that song, War? You can't have my what? Amen. You can't. You have to refuse the devil taking away your stuff.
I was going to say, a lot of people know that I deal with gastric reflux disease, so the devil tried to use somebody to mess with my mind. I was telling one lady, I was like, oh, it's hot up in here, I'm having a hot flash. She said, well, how are you having a hot flash and you pregnant with twins? I said, if they wait a couple hours, the twins will go down. They just need to leave me alone, you know. So they do little stuff to try to pick with me at work, and I still encourage people, so I thank God for giving me my strength.
Amen. You have to, don't let people take away your joy. I'll be talking about that later, but sometimes we let the devil take away our joy. And it's so easy. It is so easy. I know that there's some red button issues that as soon as, if my wife speaks about it, she's not speaking about it to take away my joy, but it's just a sore spot with me. And if it comes up, my face is going to change. My countenance is going to get, because I start thinking about all these things. That's how the devil works. He'll try and get into your mind. And you have to take and say, I refuse to dwell on that stuff. It's hard. It is hard. But if we're led by the Spirit, we have to start thinking about whatsoever things are what? Good, virtue. Think about those things. If you get on Facebook and start looking at all the negativity, you know, people really having a little fight on Facebook. That's what they use Facebook for tonight. You know? I won't even say some of the things, but anyway. We have to not let the devil take away our joy. Amen. See, if we can do that, the Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in. That's the key. It's that there's therefore no condemnation. It's only to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I challenge you tomorrow morning when you wake up, before you ask God for anything, say, God, what can I do for you? Yes. Not ask. Have a day where we ask God what he wants, not what we want. Isn't that what Jesus said? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be what? Done. We have to ask God instead of asking. And if we do that, guess what? He knows what we want. You know what he'll do? He will provide. When we look about his business, he will look about our business. We need to start asking God, God, what do you want? He knows what we want. Lord, and if I challenge you this week, let's make it about him and not about us this week in our prayers. Can you do that? Can you go through a week where you ask God what he wants? And I challenge you, if you do that, I absolutely challenge you. God will come through for you. Amen. Because he knows your need. He knows the bills you got. He knows the situation. He knows the job you need. When we start to ask God, Lord, how can I please you? How can I be a blessing? How can you be pleased with me? That's being led by the Spirit. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, being led is an action. You have to be obedient.
That's right.
Obedient. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, we're deceiving ourselves, right? We're pretending to walk, but we're not. You know, the moonwalk. I can't do it. Let me see. I can't do it. Is that on camera? Yes, I guess it is. But you see in that moonwalk, they're not going anywhere, just in place, pretending to walk. It looks pretty special, but it really achieves nothing, right? Wearing out a spot in the carpet, that's all we do. So when we are pretending to walk with God and being led by the Spirit, and really what we're doing is moonwalking.
Amen.
People looking and going, they look like, I see legs moving. They're coming to church, they're doing stuff. But next year, they're still in the same spot, and the carpet's got a hole in it. They haven't moved. They've been moonwalking spiritually. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You think that can't happen? Yeah, you've seen people walking around with, you know, like a spot piece of something on their forehead or on their nose or something. You know why? They haven't examined themselves. Everybody else can see it, but everybody's embarrassed to tell them, well, you got something hanging there, you know. A kind person will let them know. There's some toilet paper stuck to your shoe. You see, we need to examine ourselves to see if we're actually moonwalking or actually being led by the Spirit. We have to measure ourselves against the Word. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way straightway, forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, what he's saying, when you look into the Word of God, that's the mirror that tells you, that shows you whether you're measuring up, whether you're really walking and being led, or you're just dancing. You know, you're doing a Michael Jackson moonwalk. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let me go on. Deuteronomy 10:12 is all about being led by the Spirit. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all his ways and to love him? That's what it says in Deuteronomy. That's what Moses told the children of Israel. We can't go off into the desert by ourselves, as we'll die. If the cloud is going that way, Israel, you're going to have to follow the cloud that way, because that's where God is going. You may say, well, what about this way? No, God is going this way. You have to get behind the cloud. Spiritual maturity is not measured by how high you jump in praise. Because I've seen a lot of people jump high in praise, and next week, where are they? What happened? Weren't they just running around the aisles and worshiping? And what happened? But how straight you walk in obedience. Not to me, but to God's word. To God's word. Verse 13 says, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. See, if those of you who are parents, there were many times you had to tell your children things they didn't understand and they didn't like. But you weren't doing it because you hated them. You did it because you loved them, because you're trying to protect them. And they could not understand it or see it. But there was a reason why you had to tell them that. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee for this day, for thy good. For thy good. Anything God tells us, we have to trust that it's for our good. I pray sometimes I'll just use me. Sometimes in my past when I have been bullheaded, God has been so merciful, he keeps blocking the door. The slide I showed last week where I said, stop trying to open the door, God has closed. But he would lock a door and just try to go in that direction, he would block it. But he had a reason, and I'm so grateful. Later on, when I understood that this is the reason why God had to block that door. If we will submit to him and trust him to direct our path, he will lead us in paths of righteousness. Now, those paths of righteousness, as I said, sometimes may be through a valley. Sometimes it'll be by the green pastures. Sometimes it'll be by the still waters. But as long as he's leading us, Psalms 23 ends up says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Amen. Surely, that's how David ends up the psalm. He knew for a fact, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us. Sister Brownie?
You'd mentioned, you know, how we begin our day saying, Lord, what can I do for you? And I was in prayer one time, and it's like the Lord said, what can I do for you? But when we have that attitude, you can't outgive God in anything. And if you want to please him, he wants to please and love you even more than you can ever love him. So.
Amen. Amen. I want to take some time and look at that word submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And if you look into the Greek, let me tell you what that word that they use there actually means. In the Greek, in the New Testament, it's hupotasso. And here's what it means. It comes from a military term. It comes from an army term, meaning to arrange troops in a military fashion. That means to line up according to an order. That's what it is. When they gave that command, the troops would line up according to a preordained order so that they were ready to be used in a military sense. So when it says submit, we have to get into a military order behind the word of God. That's what it's saying. It says in a non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating. When we cooperate with the Spirit, that's when things will happen. Because God wants to work, but we're not cooperating. When we cooperate with the direction God's going in, things will happen in our lives. Doors will open, walls will come down, blessing will flow. Deliverance will come. But when we want to do it our way and go our way, the greatest successes of David is when he inquired of the Lord. The only time David got in trouble is when he didn't inquire of the Lord. Amen? So when it says submit yourselves therefore to God, it comes from a military term, meaning line up behind him. Let him take the lead. Let him give you direction. And if you're not sure, you keep praying till you are sure what direction you need to go. Sometimes people come to me and they present me a problem and I say, you know what? I don't know the answer. I'm afraid I'm not Solomon. I'm not God. But I tell you what, he knows the answer. You need to pray about this some more till you get an assurance, till you get a sense of peace on the direction you should go. I hate actually telling people stuff because I'm only flesh. Now, I can give you my best counsel, but really the counsel you need is God's Spirit. Amen. When we are led by the Spirit, then we are going to be victorious. No matter where it looks like we're heading, we're going to come out all right. So when we submit, it's really a military term meaning to line up, to get into formation, get ready to fight. And our general, our commander, the Lord of hosts, is going to be before us. In Joshua chapter 5, when Joshua was going to fight Jericho, he came across the commander of the Lord's host. And he said, listen, are you for us or for against? He said, I'm not here to be on your side. You got to be on my side. God is not on our side. We got to be on God's side. He is the one that's taking the direction and the lead, not us. He didn't come for us to lead him. It's he that should lead us. Amen. Matthew 26:41. Therefore, watch and pray that he enter not into temptation. Now, we've talked a lot about what prayer should be. That it should be thanksgiving. A lot of it should be thanksgiving. But prayer, another thing for prayer is so that we don't get into temptation. That's another reason for prayer, is so that we are able to fight temptation. Because the Spirit is willing. But the flesh, our desires, our wants, our ways that we would like to go is weak. Let me show you how this works. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart. You know what that means? He made up his mind. Sometimes the reason why we are not successful is we're not sure. We're fighting in our mind. We haven't really decided fully. You know, your testimony, when you decided to give up drugs, you decided to give it. You made up mind, Sister Johnny. We have to have a made up mind. I mean, we can't allow any doubt. We have got to say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I what? Seek after. We have to have a made up mind that Satan... See, you know why marriages fail? Because people sometimes go into it thinking, well, if it don't work, they're already defeated. They're already thinking, well, there's a way out. There's a way out. Well, if it don't work. But if you go in with a made-up mind, you know, it's like when these races where they tie people's legs together. You have no chance of winning unless you cooperate. Right? You have zero chance of winning unless you cooperate. When we want God to be in our favor, we have to cooperate with him. We have to have a made-up mind. Lord, I am in this with you. I'm going to be like Job. Though he slay me. See, that's an example of a made-up mind. He wasn't leaving any room for the devil to say, well, what if God doesn't love you anymore? Or what if God doesn't bless you? Well, then I'm going to stop coming to church. He took away that avenue of attack from Satan by just saying out, I declare, listen, Satan, if he kills me, I am not going to curse God and die. Amen. Satan went, well, I can't come with that anymore. I got to go away and think of a plan C here with that fellow Job. Daniel here, look at this, purposed in his heart, made up in his mind is what that means. That he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. You know why? All that stuff had been offered to idols. They had sacrificed these animals to idols, and they had cut up some of the meat after giving it to the idols, and that's what they were serving. It was the best food. It was the fattest calves. It was the best Angus beef, the best meals, but Daniel made up in his mind, listen, I'm not going to deal with that. The devil will come with a real nice plate of temptation. You have to have already decided, I'm not going to be messing with that. Amen?
Amen?
This is how we are being led by the Spirit. It's for us. You have to declare some things out loud to the devil and take it away from him as an avenue of attack. And if you declare it and he believes you, then he'll give up. He's not going to try something you know not going to work. So when Job said, though he slay me, and I'm sure he shouted that out to the devil in his sickness after losing all of his kids, after losing all his money, I bet he just got up one day and said, though you slay me, I'm not going to curse God. I'm not going to do what you want, devil. Even though everything looks hopeless, I am prepared to die for what I believe. So he said that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And they allowed him, and you know the story, they gave him herbs and vegetables and stuff, and him and his friends came out healthier, better looking than all of the people who were eating all of these things that had been offered to idols. God will come through for you when you stand upon his promise. He will. He will. He has never failed, never ever failed, and won't begin. Let's continue. I'm going to go on. Now, the other thing about being led by the Spirit is you can't be led by two masters. Jesus said so. No servant can serve two masters. You can't love the world and love Christ. You can't be partying Saturday night till, you know, the early hours and then not be surprised when you won't want to get up and come to church. Doesn't work that way, does it? You have to choose. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Right? That's what Joshua said. But as for me and my house, this whole thing is a choice. You understand that? You have to have a made-up, committed mind. I'm going to serve God and him alone. You can't be party central on Saturday night and think you're going to come to church and get deliverance and blessed. It doesn't work that way. Right? No servant can serve. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, you're going to be led by the Spirit, not the one in the bottle. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. That word hagiezo means to separate from. One of the reasons we don't get blessing is because there's stuff we're not separated from. The more you're separated, the more God will bless you.
Amen.
It's just the truth. The more you are separated, the more God will bless you. If you're not getting blessed, take an inventory of the things you're holding on to. Have a look at things that are blocking your blessing. What things are you kind of half holding on to and not really fulfilling God's will and not really making him be your number one priority? Because God doesn't take second fiddle. You know that. Oh, no. He doesn't want to be number two. You know, in the business world, companies usually, they will say, we want to be number one or number two. We want to be in the top 5% of this business. That's business. That does not work for God. God is going to be number one or not at all. He said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'd rather you were hot or cold. So what works for business will not work in spiritual matters. God has got to be your number one. And if you're not having victory and success and deliverance, here's something you need to go and look at. Get the microscope out and go through an inventory of stuff mentally, spiritually, you're holding on to. You want complete victory. You want the gifts to be manifest. You want God to speak to you. Do you know that in between when God called Abraham the first time in Genesis 12, and for the next 25 years, he only spoke to him about three times. He really didn't start speaking to him until it said after Lot left him. Abraham was still holding on. First he brought his whole family, which God said, don't do that. Leave everybody and go into a land which I will show you. So he half obeyed. He did leave, but he brought everybody, tried to drag everybody with him. Still holding on to something. He wasn't quite separated. And so you know what happens when you bring everyone with you? They slow you down. They stop your progress. So he ended up staying in this town called Haran for 5 years until his father died. Then he started to obey God again. But you know, he still started bringing people with him. He brought Lot with him. And it's not that Lot was a wicked man, but sometimes God just wants to deal with you. You by yourself. Another time when Jesus was on, had been resurrected, and he came to Peter and he said, feed my sheep, and he was talking to him. Peter said, well, what about him? He was speaking about John. Jesus said, don't worry about him, I'm talking to you. We want to tell God to, about other people when he wants to talk to us and deal with us. If you want to be blessed, you're going to have to separate from some things, Sister Johnny.
Yes, like you were saying, God wants to be number one or nothing at all. And I realized, you know, when you first getting saved and you've heard all these things about what you have to do to be saved, and once you actually get saved, it's best to actually start looking at yourself right away. Because if you get saved and you don't remove anything out of your life that you know you've been doing, because the Bible say to do to know to do right and don't do it, that's sin unto you. So if you know that these things is in your life and you're not removing them, then, you know, it becomes
a weight.
It becomes like a weight. And now it's attached to you. The spiritual and the flesh is attached. And now ain't nothing moving, because God is not going to move in your flesh unless you want it to be moved out of the way. He's not going to just come and take something from you that you still is attached to. So once I became saved, right away I looked in the mirror and I started getting rid of everything. I got rid of all my worldly friends, boyfriends, marijuana, everything that I knew that was wrong. I started to get rid of it because I wanted to really know who God was and was he really for real. And so, you know, that's just something I want to tell people, that when you know to do right, you know. You say you're a Christian and you say you're saved, then act like you're saved, you know, and don't be going around having problems and issues with your brother or sister, because the longer you have that issue, the more the devil is going to make sure you have that issue.
Amen. Amen. You see, we need to look. We may think we're doing okay, but are there things that we're still holding on to? So after Abraham got rid of the main family, he still was hanging around with Lot. And you look at it, and it wasn't until finally, Abraham was by himself that the Lord started to reveal more stuff to him. He had told him, I'm going to bless you, but he didn't give him the details of the plan until after Lot separated. When Lot separated, God started speaking to him again. God's not speaking to you. Maybe you need to separate some things. Finally, God spoke to him and said, okay, now I've got your full attention, Abraham. I'm going to reveal the details of the plan. He said, look around. And he started to tell him all the places that he was going to give him and how he was going to bless him and how he was going to get his son. It wasn't until that point where he had separated. So we may be living on God, some of God's blessings. Maybe we've left Ur of the Chaldees. We're on the journey, but we're dragging all kinds of stuff along with us. If we could see ourselves spiritually, probably got a ball and chain trying to drag. And then we try and worship and we can't jump. We can't, because you know what? Our spirit has got all this heaviness. The Bible said to lay aside every sin and weight that does easily beset us. He cannot serve God and mammon. Business has one way of dealing with stuff, but God says, I am number one. Thou shalt serve the Lord God and him alone, right? He will not share his glory with another. He will not. So most of the time as Christians, why we're not getting the fullness is because we have not given ourselves fully. You know what we've done? We've done like the people in the New Testament who sold the property, and they brought a portion. What did Peter tell him? While it was yours, all of it was yours. Don't come and tell the Holy Spirit, I've given you all, Lord. I've sacrificed everything. Have we really? See, that will work with the preacher, but it won't work with God. He wants all of you, or else you're only going to get a partial blessing. Amen. We have to give him everything. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? How many worldly friends do we have? I block people on Facebook who start to use foul language. That's the fastest way I'm going to just defriend you. I don't want to be in your company if you don't know how to speak the right words, because words have power and effect. We have to separate ourselves. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, I'm not telling you to not speak to your family at all. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, though, you don't have to be partying with them, involved in all the things they're into that are not spiritual, and then come to church and say, please pray for me, Pastor. You need to pray for yourself by fixing some things. Amen? Okay. See, I'm not going to finish this. We can either walk with the world or walk with Jesus. We can't do both, right? We can't do both. See, either you're going to love the world. You know, he asked, I'm going to just give you this last slide. Anyone want to eat of those dishes?
No.
Jesus can't use you. You can't be led by the Spirit and being used if you're in that condition. What do you got to do before you can use those dishes? Clean it up. God is not going to use you or be led by the Spirit if that's the condition you are in. A young man came to Jesus, and he was so everything. The dishes could be really the best dishes out. They could be gold-plated. They could be gold-plated with all kinds of, you know, expensive work. But if they're dirty, can't use them. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I was so hit by that verse. The young man that came, it says, it wasn't because Jesus didn't love him that we don't know his name. It wasn't because Jesus didn't want to save him that we don't know his name. It was his choice. Jesus looked at this young man. He could have been a Paul. He could have been a Peter. He could have been an Andrew. He could have been some great person for God. It wasn't that God didn't love him, but he wasn't willing to give up some things. Let that be a very serious lesson to us today. Think about what I just said. It says Jesus looked on him, and he loved him. But Jesus' love did no good, because he was not willing to give 100% to God.
Amen. That's why I always think of that scripture when it says, God created me a clean heart. Because if we have a clean heart, we know what to do, because we'll be doing the work of the Lord. But if we don't have a clean heart, we'll be doing work of the flesh.
Amen. Let's stand tonight, today. I can't finish this today. Led by the Spirit gives us the power to become. That's what being led. It's not that we're perfect, but we should be in a stage of transformation. Amen. You know, before a moth becomes a butterfly, it has to eat a certain amount of stuff so that it has the power. When it's eaten enough stuff, it has the power to become. When we have taken enough of the word, when we have really done what we're supposed to, when we're being led by the Spirit, that gives us the power to become. Paul, speaking to some of the Corinthian brethren, he says, and such were some of you. Before that, he lists a whole list of stuff. You know, adulterers, murderers, fornicators, liars. But when you are being led by the Spirit, it gives you the power to change. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to stay the same. You don't have to be the way you came. If you're willing to give it to Jesus fully. The little lad, it said he had two fishes and five small loaves. He could have said, well, you know what? I'm going to keep one of these fishes and two of these loaves. Because he could have said that. He gave it all to the Master. He trusted Jesus. You trust Jesus with everything. Your friends, your companionship, your money, your talent, your love. And if you give it fully all to Him, then He will use it. If you pretend to give it to Him, Peter may look at you. The Holy Spirit says, you know what? You didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Spirit. And they drop down dead. Because they only gave Jesus half or whatever percentage. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Not finishing this today, but I just want to let you know, God wants all of you if you want to be truly led. No substitute for perfect obedience. I'm speaking to myself today. I want to examine myself and say, Lord, am I holding back parts of me? I'm sure I am. I need to change. I need to take what I'm saying to you and point to me and say, Lord, please, if there's any areas of my life that I haven't really submitted to you, I need to do that today. I need to do that today. I need to give you everything. Because you're not willing to take 80% or 90%. You want 100%. 100%. When God was choosing the people to go and fight with Gideon, at one point he said, all of you who are a little bit scared, go home. Go home. We don't want anyone who is not sure about this. We don't want anyone who's unsure about what they're doing, that they may panic when the trumpet call comes. We want people who are 100%. 100%. God, that's what God wants from us today. And when we will truly, truly, He'll take our broken little 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and He can multiply it and do great things when we're led by the Spirit. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, for your word. Father, we ask, oh God, that we submit all of ourselves, that we separate completely from the world. Lord, I know your Spirit is speaking.